This is a Rooster Teeth production.
August 3rd, 1991. A cruise ship is sinking off the coast of South Africa. Most of the crew have abandoned ship, leaving hundreds of passengers to their watery graves. But an unlikely group of heroes had other ideas. I'm Charlotte.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Brian.
Ahoy and welcome aboard Ship Hits the Fan, a podcast about some of history's most notable uh-ohs and whoopsies on the high seas. Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. We could all stand to drift away. When times are tough and the hits, they keep coming. But what about at sea? Would you care to be lost, drifting away in dark waters off the African coast? No, Uncle Cracker. I'm sorry, but I would simply rather not.
Well, Uncle Cracker's not giving you a choice in the matter.
I like to think
this
that
is what's happening. Nope, you don't.
I guess I messed up when I chose to listen to Uncle Cracker.
Also, poor Dobie Gray gets ignored as the original artist.
Oh, well, Uncle Cracker made it his own, and it's
really the artistic, additive
over there.
Nature.
I know what it's like to be forgotten. That's okay. Mm.
Well, I wrote it, so I get to put in Uncle Cracker. Okay, that's it.
Please read. Please tell us this story.
Patrick, I'm going to. We can't just jump straight into a record. We have to have some, you know, some levity, some back and forth.
We're 15 minutes late.
Yeah, we're 17 minutes late. Okay, and I understand that, but it's an unorthodox recording day. Okay, so let me tell you about the Oceanos. Can we please get going, Patrick?
I'd love to.
Okay, are you going to interrupt again?
No, not unless you say something dumb.
I didn't write the script. The Oceanos was a 502-foot cruise ship that launched in 1952. It was originally built for a French shipping company named Messageries Maritimes. I don't know. We're not going to call Elise again.
Just drop like the end off every word and you've got how it's pronounced in French.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Messagerie Maritime.
I think it's like Meme.
Just keep going.
It's the last time you'll have to say it.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad we included it then. The ship was originally named Jean Labour.
That's way easier.
Does that sound good, Patrick?
Yeah, that's so much easier.
Way convincing.
Well, we're also not going to say that again, I'm pretty certain.
No.
Yes, you will.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, the ship changed hands many times in the ensuing decades. Finally, in 1976, it was acquired by a Greek shipping company, Eperotiki Line?
I don't think we have any Greeks line. Present right now to correct us.
Do we have any Greeks in our listenership?
I mean, there's gotta
be. Well, let us know what we did wrong, as always.
Eperotiki ad Anadopoulos.
Okay. Anyway, this line operated cruise ships as well as cargo and tanker vessels. After changing owners, the Jean Labour was rechristened the Oceanos.
Ooh.
And here's a fun fact for you guys. Did you know that the Oceanos, formerly the Jean Labour of the shipping company, was featured in the 1985 comedy Sky High?
Oh, that was a Disney Channel original, was it not?
Well, there must be two Sky Highs because the Disney Channel Sky High was an aughts production.
Yeah, 2005.
Yeah, so maybe a spiritual sequel.
No, this was 85, baby. This was a real comedy. This is what comedy where you could use the F word in front of children.
Oh, cool. I'm looking at the poster right now, and I got to say the poster is killer.
Yeah.
Well,
oh yeah.
You just buckle in, Patrick, because the ship was also featured in the 1986 adult comedy Hard Bodies 2.
Oh, yes. Young BG was a big fan, I'm sure.
Yeah. So you've seen this ship.
I'm positive I saw this on late night Cinemax.
Of course, yeah. You probably had to hold the antenna, constantly moving it to see if it comes through.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Keep the remote in one hand to just very quickly change the channel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or you could do a thing with your VCR and sort of like tweak it a little bit. Like there are a million different knobs and sort of mess with it that way. It would never come in clearly, but you could see something.
Well, I'm glad you were able to get your hands on that Hard Bodies 2. Maybe you'll recall the summary of the film, because it's a film, not a movie. According to IMDb, quote, a film crew is traveling from America to Greece to produce a movie. Before their work is done, they will have to face many unusual situations, along with numerous opportunities for the actresses to take their clothes off.
Cool.
Auga.
This could be any movie in the 80s, really.
I love unusual situations, especially ones that require me to take my clothes off.
Yeah.
Interestingly, it's a meta comedy about the film industry.
Oh, really?
Pretty. That's pretty aspirational for a movie named Hard Bodies 2.
And they were the first to do that?
Well, I'm sure they handle the subject matter beautifully.
With all the grace and sensitivity that you would expect from a 1986 adult comedy.
Well, if anyone has a copy of it or a tweaked VCR, get at us in the DMs. Recently opened on Ship Hits Pod on Twitter. Anyway, let's get back to a different hard. Well, no, the same hard body, the Oceanus.
Just keep going.
I'm about to. Jesus Christ. Calm down. God. Foaming at the mouth over there. The Oceanus embarked on its final trip on August 3rd, 1991. The ship was taking a cruise up the South African coast from capital Cape Town to the resort city of Durban. Its captain was the veteran Yannis Avranis, who had been an official for 20 years.
You're trying to laugh smile. At the name rhyming? Right?
I have not said it out loud until this moment, and no. it's a very different experience than reading it. Mm-hmm.
Get that pronunciation down, because you will be saying that last name a lot.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Avranis, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Right? I think so, too. I was on a cruise once. The captain's name was Yannis. So...
known as the bravest Greek captain in all the land.
Looking into this stuff, I found some very strange Greek racism.
Yes, you said some of it to me. It was jarring.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later, yeah.
On the final leg of the trip, the Oceanus left the small coastal city of East London and headed for Durban. The ship had about 581 passengers and crew on board. Soon into the trip, there were weather issues, with winds gusting up to 46 miles per hour, 46, Joe Biden, and swells up to 30 feet.
Millard Fillmore. No, I just made that up.
That'd be a great pull.
Yeah.
At this point, the Oceanus was in an area called Coffee Bay, off what's known as the Wild Coast of South Africa. The Wild Coast is an infamous location known for treacherous currents, and it's a spot where several ships have sunk.
I would simply not sail around the Wild Coast, but that's just me.
Yeah, well, you're not Yannis.
You're not Captain Avranis, and I would maybe do it during the day, but...
Oh, good call. Good call.
Hey, you know what? To each their own. I'm not going to tell Yannis how to helm, all right? Despite the bad weather, the Oceanus continued its trip up the coast of South Africa, but as the evening approached, things got progressively worse. As the waitstaff tried to serve dinner, the ship was pitching and rolling so badly that they were having trouble carrying drinks and food.
Whoa.
And I feel like if a cruise ship staff or server can't serve their drink, like that, they have to be so good at that, I would assume, that it would have to be pretty bad.
It's like when you see a flight attendant stumble and you're like, oh, wow.
Yes.
Turbulence must be real bad right now.
I'm not worried, though, right?
Yeah.
I can just imagine, you know, knowing people that have gone on cruises, there's a certain type. I can imagine a waiter with like a tray full of mudslides that is just going off every edge of the tray. And someone's like, can we get more bread when you get a second?
Mm-hmm. The waiter's fighting for their life.
Yeah, the waiter's got like electrical cables that have fallen out of the ceilings mm-hmm. around their limbs.
There's that one guy who's been on a cruise like continuously since the 80s, like furiously taking notes for his blog.
Yeah, he got divorced and then never set foot on land again.
Yes, there is a guy like that. I forget exact, but he's like a super fan of cruises.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
He's got to have a podcast, right?
Something. Yeah, there's self-promotion.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just say this much. On a cruise, a lot of like, oh, my wife guys who are at the bar at 9 a.m. drinking scotch neat after you've gotten to Bermuda.
Well, let's not disparage what is objectively maybe the coolest guy. Which is the, hey, my wife. That's what we all want. We all want to be that.
I don't want to be that.
You do. You don't know it yet.
1,000,000%. I am yeah. going to be that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I can get as tan and leathered as that guy.
Oh, not with that attitude.
When I have a slip and fall accident in the Rooster Teeth employee lounge, kiss my sunburned ass goodbye.
Yep.
just imagining, woo! And they just step over you.
Not a lot of tests you can do for back pain.
No,
very
it's
easy to get a lawsuit settlement out of that.
Will somebody check on this producer? Somebody. We're trying to do a shoot here for Achievement Hunter.
Put some merch on him. Moss Hills, a guitarist from Zimbabwe who was part of the ship's in-house band along with his wife Tracy Hills, knew that something was wrong. He said he'd never seen servers drop their trays before on a cruise ship. Well, maybe you weren't looking, Moss. Yeah. Okay, you know.
They know what they're doing. They're
no,
pros.
They do. Yeah, they're consummate professionals. And when his band was performing, Moss even had to brace his body while playing because the motion of the ship had become so severe. Wow.
The cruise comedian even noticed something was wrong when the couple wouldn't tell him whether they were married or not.
Well, the couple realized that things were getting bad, so Tracy decided to go down to their cabin and get an emergency bag, just when things got even worse. You know, booze, cigarettes, the normal stuff you would need in a situation yeah. like this.
Couple slices.
Yep.
Yeah. No big deal, just to take the edge off.
Some of the shrimp.
Yeah. One of those little, like, tiny little amps you can plug into a guitar.
Yeah, some of the shrimp, just taking a duffel bag up to the buffet. And just
these are heroes we're talking about.
Hand over fist. Yeah, you're right. And heroes were needed because things did get worse. While Tracy was getting a bag together, the ship's lights went out.
Oof.
Uh-huh.
Got to be one of the more frightening things that could happen at sea, especially on a cruise ship.
Yeah, a lot of people in a dark space in the ocean, in stormy weather, no less. So it's moving and listing, and it's just not good.
And most of these people are signing on for like a hotel that just happens to be on the water. All of a sudden, the power goes out, and you're like,
"Yes, exactly."
Oh wait, yeah, I'm on a f-ing ship in the middle of nowhere.
Well, it's not over for our friends yet. But it's also not looking great. Later, it was reported that a muffled explosion had been heard while the Oceanus was off the coast of Transkei, but that might have been the ship's comedian bombing. Come on.
Oh!
Okay. Brian liked that one. He's probably silently
He's not laughing.
He's laughing, I think.
I've never worked a cruise ship, but I definitely know many comedians who have, and it is apparently a blast. Like, they all love
it. Sounds fine. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're not gonna get famous that way. You're just
gonna... No, you won't. It won't do anything for your career, but I think you can make some decent money doing it, right?
You can make decent money. All they care about is if you keep it clean.
Yep.
And apparently partying after hours with the staff is a blast.
Yeah, I believe
those are the
good.
Perks.
I thought you were going to say a no-no, and I was like, that's not a deal breaker.
No, that's like the highlight. Yeah.
Okay, right on. Yeah, it's a whole culture. I knew someone that worked on cruise ships, and it's international waters, baby.
No rules.
As to the explosion, most people on the ship did not hear anything and had no idea what was going on. And what's worse, nobody seemed to be in charge. And none of the officers seem to be giving any orders.
Yes.
Oh, man. We are truly recording Ship Hits the Fan.
This is our sweet spot.
Yeah.
This is such a great story because I don't want to blow anything, but it's like it works out okay. And you have a shady captain. It's got all of our ingredients for success.
Yeah. It's like Costa Concordia 2, but it happened before Costa Concordia, so.
Oh, this was the OG.
This is the prequel.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Moss Hills, the guitarist we mentioned earlier, later described the scene to the BBC. He said, "You're on a ship in the middle of the ocean, in the dark of night, in a terrible storm. I felt this tightening in my stomach." I would be doing worse, I think, than a tightening in my stomach. I get a tightening in my stomach when people stand too close to me.
I think, though, that's because you're a bassist, and we're talking about a guitarist here. So they're made of, you know, strong. They're kind of made of stronger stuff, I guess.
I think it's more that I'm sort of the Sigma member of the band.
Okay. This Moss clearly has frontman energy through this whole thing.
He absolutely does. he's an amazing figure, and I'm really happy we get to talk about him on this show.
Maybe the one good white person from Zimbabwe. Really. Well, and his wife. And his
yeah,
wife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Shouts out Tracy. Finally, the ship's emergency lights come on, and Moss noticed that his band's equipment was scattered everywhere. Dude, my axe, he said. He also noticed something much, much worse, which is that the ship's engine had gone quiet.
Oh, no.
Oh,
he
dear.
Started panicking. That's when he didn't hear any tasty licks. And then when he realized that even the engine wasn't doing anything tasty, it was
when
bad.
When someone started to play Christopher Cross, he freaked out.
Oh, my
he
God.
He was quoted as saying, "Could you boost the monitors? I can't hear myself play." With the engine out, the Oceanus was slowing down and continued to get hammered by waves. At the mercy of the stormy sea, the ship lurched wildly. Inside, chairs were sliding everywhere along with plants, ashtrays, and anything that wasn't nailed down. You can't nail down an ashtray. You have to take it above deck with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
An hour passed. Moss and some of the other entertainers tried to calm down the passengers by playing music, but it became impossible to ignore the increasingly dire situation.
I looked and I could not find, but I so badly want to know what they were playing. Like,
I mean,
boys are back in town. The ship sinks. Oh, yeah. You know, there was some Doobie Brothers in the mix there.
They may have played Gibby the Beat Boys.
Taking it to the streets.
hey man, the ship is at a 45 degree angle. I don't want to hear Freebird right now.
Believe it.
Just a small town girl.
Yeah, yeah.
The ship's at a 45 degree angle, and they're like, well, maybe you're not ready for this, but your kids will love it.
No, I'm sitting on a portal. I don't want to tell the comedian that this is not my girlfriend. We just came as friends on this trip.
But I am hoping that we leave as more than that.
Yeah. If you ask her, then let me know what she says.
Right.
And then I'll give you maybe a different answer depending on that.
Mm-hmm. At this point, the ship starts healing, which meant it wasn't returning to a level position after being knocked around by waves. So Moss and another entertainer on the ship, a magician named Julian Butler, I would have just disappeared myself from the ship, decided to investigate. They went below deck in total darkness.
But he was a magician, so I imagine he was able to, he had something up his sleeve, some fire or something they could use for light, right?
Yeah, he had some fire up his sleeve, surely, and he was also bound by the magician's code.
And I'm not sure how that affects what happened here.
With a flourish of his hand, a flaming comp ticket appeared.
Oh, man. I love the happy ending stories. It really gives us free reign
the
to
best,
just riff.
The best.
Also because people lived. That's also good.
Yeah.
So the magician and the guitarist go below deck and they see officers running around, some of them with life jackets on. And keep in mind, they've not heard anything from the crew yet. They've just had to surmise that things are bad by the power going off and the ship not being level.
Mm-hmm.
So finally they got to the engine room, but Moss said that nobody was there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good.
Not great. Even a musician can tell that something is afoot here. Its thick metal doors were closed, but behind them, Moss could hear the sounds of water sloshing. And that meant that the Oceanus was taking on water and that it was sinking.
Let me just say that if you look at a picture of Moss Hill's classic late 80s, early 90s mullet.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Absolute party in the back, but right now it is definitely time for business in the front.
Yeah.
It's all business time.
Oh yeah, 100%. We're all up front right now. Moss is in the driver's seat.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, life is full of twists and turns. There's stress, there's changes in your life, there's grief, there's moments of growth, and there's moments where we feel like we're taking a few steps back. And it's important to show up for yourself through all the struggles that life can bring. BetterHelp Online Therapy is here for the twists and turns and will assess your needs and can match you with your own licensed professional therapist in less than 48 hours. Therapy, I can tell you, is super helpful. It has been for me. It helps you just figure out why you're doing the things you are doing and things that might be improved and help you come up with better strategies for life. It has helped me a ton. I'm here to tell you, BetterHelp is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online, and the service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime, send a message to your therapist. You can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you have to do with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if you need. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp, it's a great way to show up for yourself and invest in your well-being, and that's important. You deserve some inner peace. So here's what you have to do, guys. Visit BetterHelp, HELP.com/shiphitsfan. That's Better, HELP, and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. Special offer for Ship Hits the Fan listeners. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp, HELP.com/shiphitsfan.
So, incredibly, no announcements have been made by this point, and the ship's cruise director told Moss that she'd been told by the Captain Avernus that they would have to abandon ship.
So the cruise director knows what's going on, the crew knows what's going on, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's the best way to spread orders, is by gossip.
Mm-hmm. It's trickle-down rescue.
Well, especially yeah. If you're at sea, you want to find the most, the highest level corporate representative, should be the cruise director. Yes. I think someone with no actual like ship experience,
credentials in that field,
and then just kind of hope that they talk to everyone else.
Well, she comes back later with some good textbook ass covering. So
perfect.
Look forward to that. So what's worse, Moss told the BBC, we found out that one lifeboat had already gone with a lot of the crew and senior officers on it.
Oh my God.
I know. They didn't even tell anyone that they were leaving. That's like that's a whole new level of cowardice on this show.
Guys, the ship is going down. There's going to be a panic. So if you want to get off early, go now.
Hey, I heard about a boat. Why don't we leave the engine room? Pick up a bottle of Prosecco on the way out.
Someone else will cut it.
It's only a matter of time. Hey, listen, the boat's going to sink. There's not going to be any evidence.
You know what? Don't tell your girlfriend. Let's just get out of here. Mm-hmm. Maybe she'll be fine. Maybe not.
Hopefully she'll be fine.
We're going to be partying tonight.
Yeah, in the lifeboat, which will be definitely safe.
Look, there's plenty of magicians on board. They're going to figure it out.
They're going to have a great time.
They too are bound by the code to never let an innocent life that would want to see a magician go to waste.
This is going to be the biggest audience they've ever performed for and the most attentive by far.
Oh, yeah.
Well, gentlemen, it's been an honor performing trickery and illusions with you all.
They all shoot cards out of their hand together as the ship goes down.
Oh, no. So in an alternate universe. So at this point, you know, lifeboat gone, Moss and other entertainers on the ship realized that no one was in charge and the ship needed to be evacuated. It's like the designated survivor. It's like some random, like, sub-cabinet member that's all of a sudden in charge. But there was a problem with this evacuation in that they had no idea what they were doing.
Right.
They were entertainers, musicians, magicians.
They're not supposed to either.
No, they're not. They're supposed to play music, do magic, dance, and tell jokes. They were not sailors.
Get a little cruise ship tail, maybe.
Well, maybe so. And this is not to say that sailors can't do all those things.
Okay.
Sailors can dance and sing.
Sure.
Right.
They used to do it quite a bit, actually. What happened to that?
That's true. Gene Kelly did it all the time.
Yeah.
And we thank him for his service. Still, these entertainers had to do something. So they started with the lifeboats on the starboard side, right, which were hung high above the deck along the side of the ship. None of the entertainers had any idea how to lower the lifeboats, but they improvised. They probably had some improvisers on board,
I'm
too.
I'm sure there was at least one troop going around annoying people on their vacation.
Yes, and we pull on this rope.
They asked the lightboat to give them a location and a subject.
To steady the boats as people were being loaded onto them, Moss stood with one leg on the ship deck and the other on the lifeboat. Okay, Van Damme. All right.
Yeah.
Very, very flexible.
And he was playing guitar while doing it. And he was 100%. Yes. Yep.
But the ship was still listing and rolling. Lifeboats were being loaded up to 90 people each, but the motion was causing the boats to smash into the Oceanos.
Oof.
Good Lord. Even as the lifeboats touched water, the ones that they could get down, that didn't mean they were in the clear. Moss said, quote, "We'd let them go off into the night, and they would just drift away into the pounding waves. The people in the lifeboats had a torturous time. They were getting deluged in spray. It was cold and completely dark, but we just had to carry on until all of the starboard side lifeboats were launched."
Yeah, and they asked those survivors later, and they said, "Well, we were just happy to be away from the magicians." Who are all heroes? Man. The magicians are heroes.
We're all heroes, yes.
I knew she wasn't really being sawed in half. I needed a change of scenery. I had to get out of there.
Looking forward to a negative review. The hosts have a clear implicit bias against magicians and the art and craft of magic. Great.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so the starboard lifeboats are launched. Meanwhile, the Oceanus kept taking on more and more water. And because the ship was now listing heavily to its starboard side, it was impossible to launch the lifeboats on the ship's port side. So, you know, if you can picture this, the boats on the left side of the ship are now not over water. They are over the side of the ship. They are over the hull. So you simply can't launch that way. And with no more lifeboats available and hundreds of people still on the ship, Moss realized that they needed to try something else. He and the other entertainers went to the ship's bridge, hoping to find the captain and other officers. Makes sense. Where else would they be?
I'm sorry, but I'm just imagining a slow-mo shot of, like, clowns, guitarists, magicians, just
dancers,
slow, you know,
someone
yeah, dancer,
with a big hoop.
Yeah, just slow-mo.
Yeah, Cirque du Soleil.
Slow motion walking up the deck of the ship. Like, don't worry.
Like the
we
right
got
stuff.
This. Yeah, exactly.
How has this not been a movie? How?
Yeah, honestly,
how?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
This strange troop did get to the bridge, but as Moss told the BBC, "We looked inside, but there was no one there. That's when we realized it's just us."
Oh, God.
God.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so they took turns trying to use the ship's radio. They were like, "Radio, now you're speaking my language."
Oh, do we go on a morning show to promote the sink?
Well, they're trying to call it an SOS, and finally somebody answered. The BBC reported this exchange. So a voice answered.
"Yes, what is your mayday?"
Moss responded that he was on the cruise ship Oceanos, and it was sinking.
Okay, how long have you got left to float?
"I don't know. We've got the starboard railings in the water. We're rolling around. We've taken on a huge amount of water. We still have at least 200 people on board."
"Okay. What is your position?"
"We're probably about halfway between the port of East London and Durban."
No. "What are your coordinates?"
Moss had no clue.
"What rank are you?"
And then he said, "Well, I'm not a rank. I'm a guitarist."
Oh, shit.
"Is there a magician you can put on?"
"We will reserve 200 grave sites nearby. Do not panic."
Is Azalius the Great with his magical cloak next to you? So I would have maybe led with the "I'm a guitarist," but finally the voice put Moss in contact with two small ships that were close by. They told Moss to find the captain, but Moss did not have a clue where he was. So Moss did eventually find Captain Avranis. He was in the rear of the ship, smoking in the darkness.
Oh, that's actually cool. This guy's a piece of shit. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I'm going to die, I'm not going to die looking lame.
No, I'm going to the darkest room with a carton of cigarettes.
Moss told Avranis that they needed his help, but the captain was in no condition to do so. Moss told the BBC, quote, "He was just looking at me, wide-eyed and vacant, saying, 'It's not necessary. It's not necessary.' I think he was in deep, deep shock."
It's the qualities you want in a captain.
Yeah. A veteran captain.
Yeah.
What sort of captain school did he go to? Was this like
Phoenix?
Mail order? Yeah.
Meanwhile, the two small nearby ships only had one lifeboat each, so they couldn't help much in rescuing the hundreds of people still on the Oceanos. But they shared the Oceanos coordinates with the South African authorities, who began organizing an air rescue mission.
That's so lucky that there were two ships nearby.
Oh my God, yeah. This could be a very different story if things hadn't worked out this way. While they wait.
And the South African authorities are on it. Like, they do deserve credit here, because a lot of the times when you contact the authorities, like, well, we can't get there until next week, but these people were on it.
They got the helicopters out fast.
Yeah, I wonder if that has anything to do with this particular area already being littered with shipwrecks.
could be.
Maybe they're used to this a little bit. It could be. We don't know. We're not sure. While the passengers waited, Moss and his wife sat together, hoping that the Oceanus would stay afloat until help arrived. You know, remember, it's still taking on water actively. Moss told his wife, "I think the ship is going to go down, and it's very likely we're going to go down with it." Really sobering moment, I'm sure, amid chaos. And they thought of their 15-year-old daughter, who is currently at a boarding school in South Africa, and Moss and his wife agreed to make sure that at least one of them got off the ship so their daughter wouldn't lose both parents.
Whew. Grim.
That makes sense. That's one of those things that parents do. You're like, okay, one of us has to get up. Oh, and I read the daughter had actually been on the ship with them a few days before.
Really?
Yes.
She had disembarked like a few days earlier to kind of get back to school, so... You know, they were like, phew, all right, now one of us has to get in to, deal with her trauma for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she'll deal with mine.
Yeah.
And Brian, I want you to know that Patrick and I have an agreement that if either of us are ever in a dangerous situation,
I'm the one who lives.
We're going to make sure that.
Yeah, it's okay, me that lives is the agreement.
So we'll talk about this after the show. No, we just don't want Brian to host the podcast alone. So it could be one of us.
It's me that it's. Yeah. Okay.
It's okay. We'll talk.
Well, we'll start on time. That'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's something to think about.
Listen, it's extenuating circumstances. All right.
You had to pee.
Yeah. I always have to pee. Okay. Let's get on with the story. I had to pee. I was getting home from running an errand.
Could you please read the script? If you have time. If you have time.
I hope we both die. I hope we don't even get to talk about it. Anyway, more than I didn't mean that.
Read the script.
More than 3 hours passed. Finally, the first rescue helicopter arrived. Two Navy divers were lowered down, and they gave Moss a quick lesson on how to strap a passenger into a harness so that a helicopter could winch them up to safety.
God, that's so much pressure.
That had to be a long 3 hours, too, but they waited.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And to end off those 3 hours with a very high pressure instructional. With a very high pressure, very quick instructional talking to, I guess. One diver told Moss, "Remember, the harness needs to be quite tight under people's underarms. Make sure you get it right, because otherwise they'll tip upside down and fall out. You'll kill them on the deck. Oof. Do two at a time, or else we're going to run out of time. Okay, go." Not, "They'll die on the deck. You'll kill them on the deck.
You'll kill them." This is something that I assume in the Navy you got months of training on in Navy, not 5 minutes like this guy got.
Yeah, at the very least, hours. So two helicopter rescue sites were organized, one at the front of the Oceanus and one at the rear. One of the divers ran the rear rescue site, while Moss and Tracy ran the second operation at the front, just going completely above and beyond. Like, Heroes does not even begin to do justice to the feats they performed to get people off this ship.
Incredible.
However, time was running out. The Oceanus was continuing to sink, and passengers were starting to panic. Some even jumped off the ship's deck and into the waves. Rescuers launched an inflatable to save them. God. I mean, can you blame them?
Yeah, no.
No, I get it. Yeah.
So in all, a total of 5 helicopters were involved in the rescue, carrying 12 people at a time to land. Moss and Tracy Hills were among the last to be helicoptered off the sinking ship. He told the BBC, "As we were hovering above the ship, it really hit me. I could see the Oceanus was in a critical situation. We could see waves breaking over the bow where we had been rescuing people." Finally, his helicopter reached the shore. As it touched down, the crew's passengers ran towards him, cheering and hugging him. Finally, we can breathe easy. The passengers have been rescued. Tracy later wrote that, quote, "We arrived to a stirring chorus of 'For they are jolly good fellows' and passengers yelling at Moss that he was a hero." Moss said he choked up with emotion and collapsed.
Yeah, he's probably been running on adrenaline for however long the ship's been sinking. He's
been white knuckling it for the last 8 hours.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's over and everyone loves me. And I saved everyone. It's a lot to take in.
It's a lot to take in. It's just harrowing.
You know, part of him was like, I'm going to get so much work from this. So many gigs.
Well, because he's a multi-hyphenate now. He's not just a singer-songwriter.
Yes.
He's a singer-songwriter rescue expert.
Yeah.
So it's one less person for the cruise companies to hire. About 45 minutes after the last passenger was evacuated, the Oceania sank at around 2 p.m. August 4th. The footage of the sinking was broadcast by ABC News. A total of 225 passengers were rescued by helicopter off the deck of the ship. Those on lifeboats were rescued by passing ships. Incredibly, everyone was saved. It has been described as the greatest maritime rescue in modern history.
That is so wild that no one died.
Like, they did it within 45 minutes. They cut it within 45 minutes of the ship sinking.
Yeah. Oof. So what caused the Oceanus to sink? Some accounts say that there was an explosion. Others suggested that a freak wave smashed into the ship, causing a shell plate to fall off and a subsequent massive leak.
Mm.
An inquiry in Greece found Captain Evranis and four other senior officers negligent in the ship's sinking. Evranis received a ton of negative media coverage, with many outlets castigating him for unprofessional behavior while in command.
Yeah, and he was dragged through the mud again when Costa Concordia went down. They brought him
was
up
he?
Again. Yeah, because it was
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was the same. It's kind of a similar thing.
It feels very similar, especially this part. A South African Navy diver testified that Evranis had insisted on being taken ashore by the first helicopter.
Yeah.
And surely he fell up into that one, much like
the
captain of the Costa Concordia. Yeah. Evranis insisted that he did nothing wrong. He claimed that he left the ship first to arrange for a rescue effort, and then supervised the rescue from a helicopter because, quote, the batteries on the crew's walkie-talkies had died.
Every single battery in every walkie-talkie all at once. That's a wild coincidence.
That's so wild, Giannis. Yeah. I can't believe that.
That's right up there with a wave knocked me into a lifeboat.
Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah. Yes. He was later quoted as saying some really impressive semantics here. When I order abandon the ship, it doesn't matter what time I leave. Abandon is for everybody. If some people like to stay, they can stay.
Oh my God.
Like to stay? The ship is sinking. No one wants to stay.
No one like to stay. No one like to stay.
This type of person, especially an authority, is the absolute worst because you know no matter what happens to them, in their head, it will never be their fault.
Yes.
Never, ever.
They are incapable of feeling like shame or guilt for their own actions. It's just like, well, no, I abandoned ship. If you want to stay behind, you can stay behind. I'm out of here. It's like, oh my God. How do you get through to someone that dense?
I said you can leave, you know.
It's infuriating.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It is so maddening.
It's like they don't belong in the position they're in. And so when the slightest bit of tragedy comes or pressure, they just immediately fall apart. I guess this is more than a slight bit of pressure. But
yeah.
I feel like a responsible adult would be like, I'm the captain. We've got to figure this out. I'm the captain. I'm the captain of this ship.
Yeah.
But there's certain people who are like, nope, I'm out of here. Peace.
And look, we know guitarists are inherent cowards. That's why they pick up the guitar.
Why are you coming for everyone?
A guitarist who's outperforming you as a ship's captain is just disgusting.
And a magician. Cruise ship musician.
Okay, we don't need to make enemies of everybody.
Cruise comedians. People on the lowest totem pole of the entertainment industry.
Come on. All right. Okay.
We love our cruise ship entertainers. But there are some.
We love y'all. Yeah, but you know, but let's be real.
There are some inherent emotional flaws present in all guitarists.
But then where does that put me as a bassist? You earlier in this episode.
Look, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings today.
This is like being saved by a morning zoo DJ.
Yeah. Yeah. Man cow was on board and
enough.
Anyway.
Enough.
He saved me and then made some really offensive observations about my wife. Yes.
I don't know where the drops were coming from. I know you're gonna dig this.
Was there a spring around? Because every 30 seconds.
Okay. You're listening to the South African Authority.
People are gonna hate this episode.
Some people. Other people are gonna really like it. The ship's entertainment manager, Robin Boltman, was credited with gathering the passengers in the lounge and playing music to calm them down.
I believe I read on their site that one of the songs, I think it was him that he launched into, was American Pie. But then when he realized he was getting to the line, "This will be the day that I die," realized, "Hey, let's do something else."
Yeah, come on, everybody.
This will be the day.
Keep the energy
this
going.
This will be the day that I happy birthday to you.
Come on, Mildred, we see you.
Boltman later told the newspaper that on the morning of the rescue, quote, "Captain Avranis even contacted me from shore to ask how things were going."
Oh, God.
True king.
What's happening?
Hey, is everything okay? I'm just checking in. All my walkie-talkies are dead.
Yeah, but yours works, whatever you have.
Not that it would matter at this point anyway, because I'm so far away. Oh, no, I'm good. I'm on land. I'm having a Mai Tai on the beach right now.
It's actually a really nice day, despite the way it started.
Anyway, all the best.
Yeah, so here we get to some PR. Despite some crew leaving the ship, the ship's cruise director, Lorraine Betts, later claimed that at least 60 crew members had stayed to help the passengers into the life rafts.
Oh.
Betts was quoted by the New York Times as saying, "Without the help of able-bodied seamen, there is no way we could have done as much as we did." Nothing funny in that statement, moving on. But according to other accounts, most of the crew did flee the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Baltimore Sun reported that the only crew members left behind were the Filipino cooks and cabin crew who said they were the last to leave the ship. And if I know anything about the cruise industry, they were not being paid enough to do that.
Sure. No, of course not.
Needless to say, passengers on the Oceanus were furious at the crew for leaving the ship. One passenger said, "We were so angry with the ship's captain, we wanted to stone him," said Irene Smith, one of the passengers.
I think that's fair in the heat of the moment to feel that way.
It's pretty biblical, but warranted, I think. Frank Brainard, a maritime historian and curator of the American Merchant Marine Museum in Kings Point, New York, said that Avranis' decision to leave the ship was completely wrong. He added, "There's no excuse, it's cowardice of the First Order."
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. All-time great picture of this guy, too. We'll have
Oh, cool, there. Yeah.
Brainard said the captain is not expected to go down with the ship, but is expected to be the last to leave. "It's very much an accepted tradition that the captain is responsible for the lives of everyone on board," he said. Captain Avranis later admitted that, quote, "Quite a few people were still on the ship when he left by helicopter." Remember, 225 were saved by helicopter. He was on the first one out. But he said that the rescue was well underway by that time. You guys have this handled.
And he had spent, until the helicopters got there, he had spent his time quivering in a room.
Yep.
Without telling anybody that the ship was sinking. So.
Mm-hmm. Blasting cigs.
Yeah.
He later said, quote, "I don't care what these people say about me. I am separated from my family, who were rescued by one of the other ships, and I have lost my own ship. What more do they want?"
Separated for what, an hour and a half while they brought them to shore? Shut up. You already know they were rescued. He's not even speculating that they might be dead.
He's just separated. I'm having actually a really hard time lately. Like, I'm not with my family.
They wanted you to be in charge, dude, not blasting cigs in a dark room.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, fortunately, he barely faced any punitive measures. He got out pretty nicely. Despite being found negligent, Avranis was never imprisoned, and Eprotiki gave him command of a ferry until his retirement.
Yeah.
Which, haven't heard any about any more wrecks, so I guess he was able to pull that off.
Yeah.
He was able to get people from Staten Island to Manhattan safely for the rest of his life.
Thank God.
Along with Moss and Tracy Hills, others who were credited with staying and helping get people to safety were Betts, the cruise director, Julian Butler, a magician and comedian, and Boltman, the entertainment director, who was also a magician and comedian. Like, if you know the business, then you can probably manage it better.
double threat, we call that. And let me say, that's the bravest thing a comedian has ever done. By far.
Do magic and comedy or save people?
Save people, because oh, okay. I feel like before that, the gutsiest thing a comic would do is ask the bar if the drinks are free for performers tonight.
I love your insight, Brian.
I bombed last night, so I'm a little jaded.
Oh, good. You needed
good.
It.
Keeps you sharp.
You needed it, yeah.
You were riding too high, my man.
One thing I needed was getting kicked in the teeth more yesterday.
Yeah. Screaming at the audience, I'm trending on Podcast Addict. Which, thank you for that, by the way. Anyway, Boltman was credited with helping to entertain passengers to keep them calm. Then later, he helped organize the launch of the lifeboats. He also remained on the bridge to the end and kept radio contact with rescue coordinators. Butler helped launch an inflatable rigid boat, which he also manned with a South African Navy diver. After rescuing people from the water, Butler and the diver were the last two airlifted to safety. One of the entertainers on the ship, a South African singer who was identified as Marlou, in one press account, later told reporters, quote, "The entertainers on that ship did a wonderful job. It was not their job to do what they did, but the Greek crew disappeared early. They left the ship far earlier than everybody else." I mean, that's unbelievable.
It is sort of insane how they just sort of rose to the moment. Like, it's just nuts.
It's incredible.
Go to, like, you know, your city's, next time you go to, you know, your city's like Rib Fest, or you're at a magic, like a child's birthday, and you see the magician or the, you know, the dad blues band on the stage in the park. Imagine that you are on a sinking ship and your life depends on the guy making balloon animals. Like, that's so, and I don't even mean that disparagingly. Like, that's
what happens.
Crazy.
So
yeah.
So go up to the clown at your kid's birthday party, salute them, and say thank you for your service.
That's right.
And don't do amateur card tricks, because that is stolen valor.
Sure. The fact that they, not only was that the situation, but that they pulled it off. And were able to save. I mean, yeah, they had help eventually from, like, the Navy and stuff. But, like, they really did a lot of this themselves.
They got the word out and coordinated. And they Moss and his wife, Tracy, were, like, running one of the rescue sites.
Yeah,
seriously.
Like, they only did it with 45 minutes to spare. Like, people definitely would have died.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, we can only just say, like, how grateful we are for people like this who can step up in this time, because this has to be, I mean, this is the worst part. This could very well be a candidate for the worst day of your life. Like,
yeah.
It's hard to top this. Sitting in the dark and in stormy seas in a ship with a bunch of strangers, and there's zero communication from the people whose hands you've put your lives in. I can't imagine. Navy diver Paul Wiley, for his actions, received South Africa's highest medal of honor, an Honoris Crux Gold. It was only the sixth awarded in South African history. One of the salvaged lifeboats is now part of an exhibit at the East London Museum in South Africa. Moss and his wife Tracy continued working as cruise ship entertainers for many years, and they now live in the UK. According to a website they created about the sinking, oceanosinking.com, Moss said he still works all over the world as a cruise ship director. He also still performs occasionally. I think that only a natural progression for Moss Hills.
Yeah.
He also designs and builds websites and gives promotional and motivational talks. Tracy now designs and makes jewelry. According to the BBC, Tracy prefers not to talk about the incident. Moss, though, said he finds it cathartic to talk about. He told the BBC, "I'm not invincible, but if I can get through that, I can get through anything." Yeah, that's the guy to give motivational talks.
Yeah.
I would listen to that unironically.
So that is the story of the Oceanus, an incredible rescue, and in classic Ship Hits the Fan fashion, an incredibly negligent captain. So keeping the tradition strong. Thank you, Captain Avranis. And now, could I please
hang on a second.
Okay, all right.
What do you think Navy diver Paul Wiley is up to these days?
He's probably enjoying a retirement or diving.
He owns a major oil and gas drilling company.
Hell yeah.
Oh, cool.
So he's probably the richest of all of these. He probably made out the best. This guy's got to be rolling.
Are
in
we
it,
sure
right?
It's the same guy?
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Oh, awesome. That's...
What a nice coda to this.
Wow, what a cool taste to leave in our audience's mouth at the end of this incredible story.
Nah, most of them don't give a shit.
Well, Paul, if you want to cut us in.
Yeah, I would love to invest.
Yeah, I would love some oil money. Okay, can I please get an honorable mention, Foghorn? Today's honorable mention goes out to Moss Hills.
Oh.
That's right, the guitarist who saved hundreds with his wife Tracy on the Oceanus. Because as unlikely as it seems a guitarist could orchestrate a ship rescue, guess what? He did it a second time.
What?
Yeah, he did it again. Yeah. The Achille Lauro was an Italian cruise ship that caught fire and sank off of Somalia in 1994, 3 years after the sinking of the Oceanus. And guess who was performing aboard this ship?
Who could it have been? Oh.
It was Moss Hills. And he,
the Beach
fortunately,
Boys.
The crew was much better on this ship, and he worked closely with them. He probably had more experience in a sinking ship than a lot of the crew, I would think. So he worked with them to get people to safety. It's super interesting. A lot of the ordeal was actually captured on VHS from those aboard. And unfortunately, there were a couple casualties, but the lion's share of the crew and passengers survived. So once again, a largely successful rescue. They tried to fight the fire.
Moss didn't have his fastball this time. He'd lost a step, but he got most of them.
Yeah, I don't know if he actually had to like help out on this one either. But
he may have just helped orchestrate it. But if you want to get the details on it, you can watch the story of the Achille Lauro from Bright Sun Films. Really, really, really great video about the ship's history, what happened to it, and the fire and sinking and rescue. So, Moss, here's to you.
Yeah.
May your bones bleach in these sands.
Yeah. That brings us to the end. Bleach those bones. Follow us on Ship Hits Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
Mm-hmm. See you next week. Oh, we have... Go get our merch. We got merch now.
We have merch.
Yeah.
We have merchandise. Even Brian got some.
I did.
That's right. Yeah. He had to pay.
He had to pay, yeah. I mean, nobody gets a free ride, except for Patrick and I. All right, folks.
See ya.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.